go. Good day, Republicania. Buona sei, Trina Becca, Atiena. Sakala sarane, Bona dia toro, Nijamane. Sakale semana, gode teja kati, deo nata, jeta gata. Tapeto kaibo, atinama suke, aparada. Cabe no gripa, lo vegate gianna, frittata, poi venata. Shanti volen, pami a te, gen, coromore atma, santa. Yogyata vinchare, kichuna ipai, tomaraka luna sara. Karana na huayre, kandia kandia, ranana. Ripabinudia, Uruweda se, Hina Beka, Atina, Sakala Sahane, Bolo dia Kroro, Nijamane, Srihali. Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada, Pribo. Goswami. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrind Ki Jai. Namacharya Shri Das Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda Sidvaita Gadadha Sivasri Gaur Bhakta Vrind Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shyam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavanam Ki Jai Mathuram Ki Jai Jagannatha Swami Ki Jai Yamunamai Gajai, Shimana Glasi Devi Gajai, Samveda Bhakta, Vrinda Gajai. Go, Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Putale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurani Pajani Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarne. So, Om Maganata Vedanta Shah Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmeditam Yena Tasmai Shikarve Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torch light of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So we're going to continue with our reading of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila. We're starting with the 201st text in the 8th chapter of the Madhya Lila. And this, is, of course, is continuing the discussion between Ramananda Roy and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in the past, we've run into very esoteric, elevated discussions about Srimati Radharani's position and her associates and their relationship with Krishna. So I think from this point forward, we're going to be dealing with things that are more comprehensible by us. Comprehensible means directions or things that we can relate to this material world with. Because the spiritual realm is so elevated, everyone there has a spiritual body made of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. And here we have material body made of temporary nature, ignorance, and suffering. So, I mean, it's a completely different category. And so whenever we hear about the spiritual nature with the spiritual bodies, you know, we think about the romance between Radha and Krishna, then we may project our particular conceptions or experience with, or experiences, if you happen to have a lot of experiences, with romance in this material world, but it's not anything comparable. I hate to tell you, it's not comparable. Externally, you know, it may appear to be the same, but it's not the same. It's completely of a different category. Believe me, you can't really understand these things so well. Just like recently, I've been reading the Ramayana, and in the Ramayana, there's some really heart-wrenching aspects to the story. I mean, a lot of heart-wrenching aspects. I mean, not only does Lord Ram send Sita Devi away, when there's complaining on the part of some washerman who's disappointed with his wife, you know, who has no fault, but even Ram sends Lakshman away at the end. I mean, it's just like, what is happening with the Lord's pastimes? And then Krishna is leaving the gopis, and Lord Chaitanya is taking sannyas when his wife is 16 years old. You know, nowadays people don't even get married at 16, usually. So, taking sannyas, renouncing everything, and this is, you know, from our perspective, it appears like cruel. Where is the romance? Where is the love? Where is any of those finer emotions? So I'm just giving an example showing how we project our mundane conception upon the realm of the absolute. But actually, Krishna's enjoying, Lord Ram's enjoying, Sita Devi is enjoying, Radha is enjoying. How that is beyond our ability to understand. They're crying in separation. O Govinda, feeling your separation. I am considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain. I am feeling all void or vacant in the world in your absence. So how is that happiness? We don't understand that. So we have to be very, very careful when we're dealing with these very intimate affairs. We should always understand that Krishna is the enjoyer, and whatever he does is for his enjoyment. That's it. And he is not neglecting Radharani. He's not neglecting Sita Devi. He is not neglecting Vishnu Priya or Lakshmi Priya, his first wife. None of those personalities are the losers or being neglected. So that's just one example. So, but even when we're talking about the meeting of lover and beloved in the spiritual world, Krishna and Radha, or Ram and Sita, we should understand that is beyond our ability to understand. But as they say, fools walk in where angels fear to tread, or also frogs, as Prabhupada said, try to measure the ocean, utilizing their own understanding. And ultimately, the story Prabhupada told of the frog that puffed up his pouch so big that the poor frog exploded. Anyway, on that happy note, let us go to... Sure, I discouraged a whole bunch of people, but that's not my intention. My intention is caution. Right now, when dealing with Krishna, when dealing with the spiritual master, people are very proud nowadays. They think they can understand things utilizing, you know, materialistic techniques. I'm not going to get into it, what I mean by that. So you can just, if the shoe fits, wear it. So let's go and share the screen. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. I'm looking for the screen. It's there. This is interesting. I have so many screens open. The problem is I have so many screens open. There it is. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Because in the course of my work I have to open up so many screens, and a lot of screens are still open. So we have to page down to find the right screen. Okay. So let's begin with text 201 in the 8th chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Radha Krishna Lila Hai Ati Gudhatra Dashavatsal Yari Bhave Nahaya Gochara. The pastimes of Radha and Krishna are very confidential. They cannot be understood through the mellows of servitude, fraternity, or parental affection. Sabe heka Saki ganera iha nadikara Saki haite haya he Ilara vistara. Actually, only the gopis have the right to appreciate these transcendental pastimes, and only from them can these pastimes be expanded. Saki vina he lila pushtanahi haya Saki lila vistariya Saki asvadaya. Without the gopis, these pastimes between Radha and Krishna cannot be nourished. Only by their cooperation are such pastimes broadcast. It is their business to taste the mellows. Saki virahe lilaya anyera nahi gati Saki bhave ye tanre kare anu gati Radha Krishna kunja sevak saja se paya Se saja paite ara nahika upaya. Without the help of the gopis, one cannot enter into these pastimes. Only one who worships the Lord in the ecstasy of the gopis, following in their footsteps, can engage in the service of Sri Sri Radhakrishna and the bushes of Vrindavan. Only then can one understand the conjugal love between Radha and Krishna. There is no other procedure for understanding. Prabhupada is very strict here. This means, or the means, for returning home, for going back to Godhead, is devotional service. But everyone has a different taste in the Lord's service. One may be inclined to serve the Lord in servitude, dasha, rasa, fraternity, sakya rasa, or parental love, vatsalya rasa. But none of these can enable one to enter into the service of the Lord in conjugal love. To attain such service, one has to follow in the footsteps of the gopis in the ecstasy of sakya bhava. Then only can one understand the transcendental mellow of conjugal love. In the Ujjala Nilamani, Asaki Prakarana 1, Srila Rupa Goswami advises, Prema Lila Vaharanam Samyang Vistarika Saki Vishrambu Ratna Peti Chitata Shushtu Vivichate. One who expands the conjugal love of Krishna and his enjoyment among the gopis is called a Saki. Sakya means like a female friend or friend of Krishna or friend of Radharani, who is female. Such a person is a confidential gopi in the conjugal affairs. Such assistants are like jewels in the form of Krishna's confidants. The actual business of the Sakis is described thus in Ujjala Nilamani, Sakhi Prakarana 97-99. Mitha prema gunot kirtis Ayora sakti karita abhisaro dvare horeva sakya krishna samarpanam naram asfasana nepatyam vidayod gata patakva patavam. That's just right. Chidra samritire tasya pachyade parivanchana Siksha Sangha Manam Kale Sevanam Vyajanadibihi Tayo Dravyo Rupalam Va Sandesha Preshanam Tata Nayaka Prana Sangraksha Pratyatnadya Sakhi Kriyaha. In the conjugal pastimes of Krishna, Krishna is the hero, Nayaka, and Radhika is the heroine, Nayaka. The first business of the gopis is to chant the glories of both the hero and the heroine. Their second business is to gradually create a situation in which the hero may be attracted to the heroine and vice versa. Their third business is to induce each of them to approach the other. The fourth business is to surrender unto Krishna. The fifth is to create a jovial atmosphere. The sixth, to give them assurance to enjoy their pastimes. The seventh, to dress and decorate both the hero and heroine. The eighth, to show expertise in expressing their desires. The ninth, to conceal the faults of the heroine. The tenth, to cheat their respective husbands and relatives. The 11th, to educate. The 12th, to enable the hero and heroine to meet at the proper time. The 13th, to fan the hero and heroine. The 4th, to sometimes approach the hero and heroine. The 15th, to set conversations in motion. And the 16th, to protect the heroine by various means. Materialistic sahajas who cannot actually understand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna manufacture their own lifestyles without referring to authority. Such sahajas are called Sakhi Baiki, and sometimes they are called Gora Nagari. So Sakhi Baiki means they dress up basically as Sakhis. They dress their material bodies up as Sakhis and think that they've achieved perfection. Gora Nagara means that they think that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is enjoying the conjugal ras. They believe that the material body, which is fit to be eaten by jackals and dogs, is enjoyable for Krishna. That's the problem when we try to jump up and think we can understand the conjugal love between Radha and Krishna, because we project our own conceptions. And even though we may not say, we may accept the spiritual, but Krishna is enjoying as he is, because Krishna is not different from his spiritual body. Still, our concept of Krishna's spiritual body is material. Got it? That's really important to understand. And our concept of Radharani's spiritual body is material. So we're actually seeing something material while we're talking about Radha and Krishna. Consequently, they artificially decorate the material body to attract that Sakhi Bhagi, attract Krishna, thinking themselves Sakhis. But Krishna is never attracted by the artificial grooming of the material body. Yuck. As far as Srimati Radharani and her gopis are concerned, their bodies, homes, dresses, ornaments, endeavors, and activities are all spiritual. That means Satchitananda. All of these are meant to satisfy the spiritual senses of Krishna. Indeed, they are so pleasing and endearing to Krishna that he is subjugated by the influence of Srimati Radharani and her friends. They have nothing to do with anything mundane within the 14 planetary systems of the universe. Although Krishna is attractive to everyone, he is nonetheless attracted by the gopis and Srimati Radharani. That's Madan Mohan Mohini. One should not be misled by mental concoctions supposing his material body to be perfect and deeming oneself a Sakhi. It's like if I put lipstick on. This is something like Angropasana, that is, a Mayavadi's worship of his own body as the supreme. Srila Jiva Goswami has cautioned mundaners to abstain from such conceptions. He also warns that thinking oneself one of the associates of the supreme without following in the footsteps of the gopis is as offensive as thinking oneself the supreme. Such thinking is an aparada, that means an offense. One has to practice living in Vrindavan by hearing about the talks of the gopis with Krishna. However, one should not consider himself a gopi, for this is offensive. Actually, one should not consider himself or herself a gopi. So it's not because you have a female material body that you are closer to Krishna than someone who has a male material body. That means that you're a gopi. You could be a material gopi, which means a coward girl, sure. You can take care of cows and we'll call you a gopi. Okay. On that happy note. Viburapi sukarupa swaprakashopi vavaha shanamapi nahi radha krishna yor yarite swaha pravahati rasapushtim chidviputir iveshaha shayati napadamasam kasakinam rasayaha. The pastimes of Shri, Radha, and Krishna are self-effulgent. They are happiness personified, unlimited, and all-powerful. Even so, the spiritual humors of such pastimes are never complete without the gopis, the Lord's personal friends. Humors means the taste, rasa, or experience. You know, the taste you get from the experience. The supreme, like, the taste you get from the experience of eating something salty is salty taste, obviously. So salt is a rasa. Sweet is a rasa. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is never complete without his spiritual potencies. Therefore, unless one takes shelter of the gopis, one cannot enter into the company of Radha and Krishna. Who can be interested in their spiritual pastimes without taking their shelter? This is a quotation from the Govinda Lilamrita, 10th chapter, text 17. Sakira Swabhavahika Atatya Katana Krishna Sahanija Lilaya Nahi Sakira Mana. There is an inexplicable fact about the natural inclinations of the gopis. The gopis never want to enjoy themselves with Krishna personally. Krishna Saha Radhikara Lilaye Karaya Nija Sukhaite Tate Koti Sukhapaya. The happiness of the gopis increases 10 million times when they serve to engage Sri Radha and Krishna in their transcendental pastimes. In other words, they simply want to put Radha and Krishna together. Radhara Sarupa Krishna Prema Kalpalata Saki gana hayatara palava pushpa pata. By nature, Srimati Radharani is just like a creeper of love of Godhead, and the gopis are the twigs, flowers, and leaves of that creeper. Krishna lila amrita yadi lata ke sancheha nija sukha ite palava kyera koti sukha vaya. When the nectar of Krishna's pastimes is sprinkled on that creeper, the happiness derived by the twigs, flowers, and leaves is 10 million times greater than that derived by the creeper itself. Wow! So, in his Amrita Prabaha Bhasha, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur states, Srimati Radharani is the creeper of love of God, and the gopis are exactly like twigs, flowers, and leaves. When water is sprinkled on the creeper, the twigs, flowers, and leaves indirectly receive all the benefits of the creeper itself, but water sprinkled directly on the twigs, leaves, and flowers is not as effective as water sprinkled on the creeper's root. The gopis are not as pleased when they directly mix with Krishna as when they serve to unite Srimati Radharani with Krishna. Their transcendental pleasure lies in uniting them. So that is the mood of all the gopis, even the gopis that appear to be competitors, like, can't even say her name, sorry about that. Starts with a C. I know her name. I'm not going to say it. I'm not allowed to say it. But she is simply thinking how to create these different moods between Radha and Krishna, which are the moods in which Radha and Krishna enjoy. Especially Radharani's man or anger. Sakya Shiradikaya Vraja Kumuda Vidor Ladini Nama Shaktahe Saram Shaprema Valya Kisalaya Dala Pushpari Tulya Swatulya Sitayam Krishna Lilamrita Vrasa Nichayar Ula Santyam Amushyam Jatula Sa Swake Se Kach Chataguna Marikam Santi Yatana Chitram. All the gopis, the personal friends of Srimati Radharani, are equal to her. Krishna is pleasing to the inhabitants of Brajabhumi, just as the moon is pleasing to the lotus flower. His pleasure-giving potency is known as Ladini, of which the active principle is Srimati Radharani. She is compared to a creeper with newly growing flowers and leaves. When the nectar of Krishna's pastimes is sprinkled on Srimati Radharani, all her friends, the gopis, immediately appreciate the pleasure 100 times more than if they were sprinkled themselves. In other words, they want to see Radha and Krishna enjoy. They're not envious of Radha and Krishna. Actually, this is not at all wonderful. This verse is also from the Govinda Lilamrita 10:16. Yadyapi sakira Krishna sangame nahi mana tathapi radhika yatne karana sangama. Although the gopis, Srimati Radharani's friends do not desire to enjoy themselves directly with Krishna, Srimati Radharani makes a great endeavor to induce Krishna to enjoy himself with the gopis. In other words, Radharani just wants Krishna's pleasure. That's it. In the material world, the conjugal relationship is based on the pleasure of each individual, not giving pleasure to the other individual. Although they think it's like that. That is the illusion. Sorry. Nana chale Krishna preri sangama karaya atma Krishna sangha haite koti sukapaya. Presenting various pleas for the gopis, Srimati Radharani sometimes sends the gopis to Krishna just to enable them to associate with him directly. At such times, she enjoys a happiness 10 million times greater than that enjoyed through direct association. And that's love. You know, she loves her associates. Krishna loves her. Krishna loves everybody. Phew. It's a world of love. Anyone vishuddha preme kari rasa pushta Hansabara Prema Deki Krishna Hayatushta The transcendental mellow is nourished by that mutual behavior of transcendental love of Godhead. When Lord Krishna sees how the gopis have developed pure love for him, he becomes very satisfied. Srimati Radharani and the gopis are not interested in their personal happiness derived from association with Krishna. Rather, they want to become happy by seeing one another associate with Krishna. In this way, their dealings are further nourished by love of Godhead. And seeing this, Krishna is very pleased. Wow. Sahaja gopira prema nahi prakriti kama kama krira samyektara kahi kama nama. It is to be noted that the natural characteristic of the gopis is to love the Supreme Lord. Their lusty desire is not to be compared to material lust. Nonetheless, because their desire sometimes appears to resemble material lust, their transcendental love for Krishna is sometimes described as lust. It's not lust, but external appearances may make it seem so, but it ain't lust. Lust means to enjoy, to objectify someone else, to turn someone else into an object of your enjoyment. And usually in this world, it's because simply someone is attracted to the bodily form of someone, not the soul of the bodily form. Just like that story of liquid beauty. I'm not going to tell the story because it's not appropriate in this particular chapter when we're dealing with this particular chapter about Radha and Krishna, but I think you all know that story. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that material lust should never be attributed to Krishna, who is full of transcendental knowledge. Material lust cannot be engaged in the service of the Lord, for it is applicable to materialists, not to Krishna. Only prema, love of God, it is applicable for the satisfaction of Krishna. Prema is full service rendered unto the Lord. The lusty affairs of the gopis actually constitute the topmost love of Godhead, because the gopis never act for their own personal satisfaction. They are simply pleased by engaging other gopis in the service of the Lord. The gopis derive more transcendental pleasure from indirectly engaging other gopis in the service of Krishna than from engaging in his service themselves. That is the difference between material lust and love of Godhead. Lust applies to the material world, and love of Godhead applies only to Krishna. And of course, we do remember that verse in the Bhagavad Gita. By contemplating objects of lust, jayato visha pumsam, then jayato visha pumsam angostesha jayate, you become attached. And then when you become attached, you become lusty. Kama krodha bijayate. Kama is lust. And then what comes after lust is krodha. This is like many times I've seen young couples and they look at each other with love. And the next thing I know, I have to advise them how not to kill each other. It happens. Please, do not kill each other. You should love each other. We did love each other. So anyway, so sorry about that one. Premaiva gopa brahmanam kama ityagamat pratam ityudavadihopyetam vanchanti bhagavat priyaha. Although the dealings of the gopis with Krishna on the platform are pure love of God, and such dealings are sometimes considered to be lusty, but because they are completely spiritual, Uddhava and all the other dearmost devotees of the Lord desire to participate in them. Is the quotation for the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.285. Nijendriya sukahitu kamera tatparya Krishna sukha tatparya gopi bhava varya. Lusty desires are experienced when one is concerned with his own personal sense gratification. Exactly what I said before, Prabhus. The mood of the gopis is not like that. Their only desire is to satisfy the senses of Krishna. Remember that. That's the mood of the gopis. There is absolutely no desire to satisfy their own senses. And if you think you can understand Radha and Krishna and their loving exchanges, you have to come to that particular platform where you have absolutely no desire to enjoy your own senses. And that includes the mind. Manaksa stani indriyani prakriti stani karshati. Because the mind, you know, we get proud. We're thinking, I know so much by my austerity. You know, our pride is just like destroying us. That's the mind. We enjoy the mind, thinking ourselves to be so intelligent. Nijendriya sukhavancha nahi gopikara krishne sukhadite kare sangama vihara. Among the gopis, there is not a pinch of desire for sense gratification. Their only desire is to give pleasure to Krishna. And this is why they mingle with him and enjoy with him. Yate sujata charanam buruham staneshu pita sanai priya dadhimahi karkasheshu tenakta vimatasitad yatate na kim swet Kurpadi bir brahmati dir bhavad ayusham naha. All the gopis said, Dear Krishna, we carefully hold your delicate lotus feet upon our hard breast. When you walk in the forest, your soft lotus feet are pricked by small bits of stone. We fear that this is paining you. Since you are our life and soul, our minds are very much disturbed when your lotus feet are pained. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 31st chapter, text 19. And actually, you can get a little hint about this in the material world in the relationship between the mother and the child, which Prabhupada said is the closest thing to pure love in this world. It's not pure, but it's the closest thing to pure love in this world. Just like if the child is out playing, the mother is worried about it as feet, and she maybe consider his feet to be lotus, even though they're not lotus. But that's a mother's love. She's concerned for the welfare of her child. That's real, real close. Real, real, real close to pure love. And Prabhupada considered that to be very important. We encourage that. It's not that we discourage it. We encourage the love of a mother for the child, because the children need the love. The mother needs the love. Say, Gopi Baba Mrite Yanra Lobahaya Veda Dharma Lokatyaji. Say, Krishna Vajaya. One who is attracted by that ecstatic love of the gopis does not care about popular opinion or the regulated principles of Vedic life. Rather, he completely surrenders unto Krishna and renders service unto him. Raganuga Marge Tandri Bhaje Ye Jana Say Jana Paya Vraje Rajendra Nandana. If one worships the Lord on the path of spontaneous love and goes to Vrindavan, he receives the shelter of Rajendra Nandana, the son of Nanda Maharaj. Raja Indra Nandana, the son of the king of Braj. Got it? And there are 64 items listed for the rendering of service unto Krishna, and these are the regulative principles enjoying the shastras and given by the spiritual master. One has to serve Krishna according to these regulative principles, but if one develops spontaneous love for Krishna as exhibited in the activities of those who live in Brajabhumi, one attains the platform of Raganuga Bhakti. One who has developed this spontaneous love is eligible for elevation to the platform enjoyed by the inhabitants of Brajabhumi. In Brajabhumi, there are no regulated principles set forth for Krishna's service, obviously, because there's no inclination to do anything else. Rather, everything is carried out in spontaneous natural love for Krishna. There's no question of following the principles of the Vedic system. Such principles are followed within this material world, and as long as one is on the material platform, he has to execute them. So you better execute them. However, spontaneous love for Krishna is transcendental. It may be seen that the regulated principles are being violated. We're not talking about the four regulated principles right now. We're talking about other things in regard to spontaneous devotional service, like someone may not wake up early in the morning when they're on the Raghunuga platform or something like that. But, you know, because they're up all night long chanting Gauranga. But the devotee is on the transcendental platform. Such service is called gunatita or nirguna, for it is not contaminated by the three modes of material nature. Now, interestingly enough, in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about someone who has no material duties, and then Krishna says, but to set an example, even the person who has no more material duties, who is on the Raghunuga platform, I'm just paraphrasing, needs to set an example, yad yad acharyati sreshtas tat tat evaiturum janaha, for others. And Krishna said, if Krishna didn't set a good example, all the world would be destroyed. Raja lokera kono bhava lanyahi bhaje bhava yogya deyapana Krishna paya braje. In his liberated stage, the devotee is attracted by one of the five humors in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. That means you're attracted to be a passive adorer of the Lord, you're attracted to be a servant of the Lord, you're attracted to be a friend of the Lord, you're attracted to be a parent of the Lord, or you're attracted to be a conjugal lover of the Lord, or assist in the conjugal love between Radha and Krishna. Whew. As he continues to serve the Lord in that transcendental mood, he attains a spiritual body to serve Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. Tahate drishtanta Upanishad srutigana Ragamargi bhajipaila Prajendranandana. Those saintly persons who represent the Upanishads are vivid examples of this. By worshipping the Lord on the path of spontaneous love, they attain the lotus feet of Brajendranandana, the son of Nanda Maharaj. And Prabhupada explains, in the Goloka Vrindavan planet, Krishna's servants are headed by Rattaka and Pattaka. Krishna's friends are headed by Sri Rama, Subal, and others. There are also elder gopis, Mother Yashoda and others, and the coward man headed by Nanda Maharaj. All these personalities are eternally engaged in loving service of the Lord in accordance with their specific attachments for Krishna. One who wants to return home to serve the Lord directly may be attracted to Krishna as a servant, friend, father, or mother. If a person continuously serves Krishna during this life in a particular ecstasy, upon giving up the material body, he attains the spiritual body suitable for serving Krishna in terms of his particular attachment. One may serve as a servant, friend, father, or mother. In the same way, one who wants to serve Krishna in conjugal love can attain a body under the guidance of the gopis. In this connection, the most vivid example is provided by those saintly personalities known as the Shrutis, who represent the Upanishads. The Shrutis understood that without serving Krishna and following in the footsteps of the gopis, there would be no possibility of their entering the kingdom of God and serving Krishna in the mood of conjugal love. Therefore, they engaged in spontaneous loving service unto Krishna and followed in the footsteps of the gopis. So, in other words, you have to serve the gopis, following in their footsteps, if you want to be a gopi. But I'm not saying try for that now. I think try for serving Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, work now, samadhi later. That means I have faith. My faith is yasya devi parabhakti da devi da kuru kashaite katiha yarta prakashante Mahatmana. My faith is, because of my implicit faith in Prabhupada and the Vedic literatures, that everything will be accomplished. You understand? If I simply serve Prabhupada and Prabhupada's mission, try to help people become Krishna conscious, Krishna will come and arrange everything. Radharani will arrange everything. That's the point. So our method of realizing our spiritual identity is to please Mahatse Namor Vimuktes, to please the Acharya. It's very simple. And if I start to meditate now upon myself being a coward boy or gopi or a cow or serving a cow, it ain't gonna work. Nibritta Marun Manoksha Trida Yoga Yujo Ridyan Munia Upasate Tarario Pia Yus Maranat Striaura Gendra Bogaduja Danda Vishaka Shakta Dio Vayamapite Samasamadrishon Gri Saroja Sudaha. Great sages controlling the mind and senses by practicing the mystic yoga system and controlling their breath. But thus engaging in mystic yoga, they see the super soul within their hearts and ultimately enter into the impersonal Brahman. That's not good. But even the enemies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead attain that position simply by thinking of the Supreme Lord. However, the damsels of Braja, the gopis, being attracted by the beauty of Krishna, simply wanted to embrace him and his arms, which are like serpents. Thus the gopis ultimately tasted the nectar of the lotus feet of the Lord. Similarly, we Upanishads can also taste the nectar of his lotus feet by following in the footsteps of the gopis. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 87th chapter, text 23, spoken by the Shruti, the personified Vedas. Samadrsha shabde kahe sevave anugati samasabde kahe shutira gopi deha prapti. The word samadrsha, mentioned in the fourth line of the previous verse, means following the mood of the gopis. The word samaha means the Shruti's attainment of bodies like those of the gopis. Angri padma sudaya kahe Krishna sangha nanda vidhi margena paye vraje Krishna chandra. The word angri padma sudaya means associating intimately with Krishna. One can attain such perfection only by spontaneous love of Godhead. One cannot obtain Krishna and Goloka Vrindavan simply by serving the Lord according to the regulated principles. That doesn't mean you give up the regulated principles. It means there has to be something going on in your heart while you're doing your external stuff. Nayam sukapo bhagavan deinam gopika sutaha yaninam chatma bhutanam yathavaktimatamiha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the Son of Mother Yashoda, is accessible to those devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service, but he is not as easily accessible to mental speculators, to those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body the same as the self. So let's finish this purport. This verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 9th chapter, text 21, is spoken by Srila Shukadeva Goswami. It appears within a passage in which he glorifies Mother Yashoda and other devotees of Krishna by describing how they can subjugate him, he means Krishna, by their love. All right, so we'll end there. Let me just mark it out. The pen. I can find a pen. So we went to 201 to 227 today. Okay. Very good. Okay, so now we will take some questions after we stop sharing and allow you all to unmute yourselves, or you can ask your questions if you are shy in the chat window. So, who has questions? Either chat or raise your hand or speak up about these subject matters. Or about any subject matter, if you don't want to ask about the gopis or about Krishna.
I have a question.
Yes.
There's so much warning here to not basically imagine that one's a coward boy or a gopi. But at the same time, there's instructions elsewhere that we are supposed to meditate on serving Krishna. I mean, just like Srila Prabhupada he instructed Jamuna in deity worship to basically imagine getting water from the Yamuna and bringing it to bathe Krishna. And so, I mean, when you do that, you're at least serving the gopis.
Yes.
So is that okay?
Yeah, that's all right, but you're not imagining that you are a gopi.
But aren't the servants of the gopis usually like Manjaris or, you know, other gopis?
Somehow or other, Krishna is allowed. I mean, if I pick some flowers for the deities here, Radha Golokananda, I am not going to think that all of a sudden that I'm a gopi. I'm serving the gopis. Somehow or other, by Prabhupada's mercy, here's my answer. By Prabhupada's mercy, I am allowed to serve the gopis. And also, following the mood of service to the gopis. What is the mood of the gopis? To give Krishna pleasure and to deny yourself. Not to deny yourself, but just to consider Krishna's pleasure most important. That's the mood. If I were to think of myself, well, while I'm doing arti for the deities. Of course, I used to dress the deities, but then I got kicked off the altar because I wasn't a good enough gopi. Then they were thinking, the deities were thinking, what the heck is a coward boy doing? Not that a coward boy. Anyway, what the heck is this other person doing on the altar? So, one should not imagine themselves in a spiritual body. One can imagine that they're serving the gopis, yes. Not imagine, they actually are serving the gopis when they're serving Radha and Krishna on the altar. And actually, Prabhupada said when one's preaching Krishna consciousness, it's done in the mood of the gopis or conjugal relationship. But it's as soon as we project our conception that I'm one of the gopis serving the gopis, it's quite dangerous because then we, ahangara upasana, then we start to identify the material body with the spiritual body. It's a very dangerous thing. It's a very, very dangerous. You know, of course, Prabhupada wanted the ladies to dress nicely for the deities. I understand that. And Prabhupada one time called the devotees, the ladies, gopis. He wrote a letter to, I think it was the Boston Temple. He said, how are all the gopis doing? So, but while one is in the materialistic conception of life, to picture oneself in a spiritual body is exactly what Prabhupada is warning against there. He says, I'm serving. Yeah, I'm getting an opportunity. By the mercy of my spiritual master. That's why we have the picture of our spiritual master on the altar. You know, if we were just one of the gopis, we wouldn't need a picture of the spiritual master on the altar. Actually, that's a good point. We would just have Radha and Krishna. So, I hope that answers your questions. Sorry about that. Anyway, I mean, I'm happy serving Prabhupada. And I know, whatever I am, I am. Wait, kesara, sara, whatever will be, will be. Whatever I am, I am. And I'm just happy serving Prabhupada. And then Krishna reveals it to me. There's two methods of achieving one siddha deha. One is the method that was done previous. Basically, the Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and even Bhakti Vinod Thakur talks about it in his Jiva Dharma. And Janachandra, you know, he lists different things about, oh, there's one of the coward boys, anyway. Maybe he's a gopi. Are you a gopi? No. So anyway, that method of siddha pranali is actually a bona fide method, but it's not something that's bona fide for us to practice. That's the difference. It's bona fide for previous personalities who are highly qualified. My method of self-realization is to consider that I am serving in the residence of Vrindavan by serving Prabhupada. And yes, if I serve the deities, I'm serving the gopis, I'm serving Radha and Krishna. I certainly am. But by Prabhupada's mercy, I'm able to do that right now. Otherwise, if I remove Prabhupada from the equation, I become a sahaja. It's like just Radha and Krishna. Radhe, 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 Radhe. Radhe, Radhe, Shami Ladhe, Radhe, Radhe, Shami Ladhe. Okay, enough of that one. So, here's another question. We have a question from Brad. Oh, it's a private question, so I can't tell you who it's from. Okay. So we have a question from a private individual who I cannot mention to protect the innocent. It's said that one of the activities of the gopis is to hide the faults of Radha. What faults would she have? She has no faults at all. Radharani has no faults, but she manifests apparent faults like getting angry. In this material world, anger is considered a fault, isn't it? Usually is. Like if I get angry, someone will say, you got problems, Maharaj, you're angry. So these apparent faults of Radharani are actually attractive features meant for serving Krishna. She actually has no faults. Or they may think that she has faults just to give them an impetus to hide whatever they think is a fault, you know, her anger or sneakiness or something like that. Okay. Maharaj, we dress ourselves in Vaishnava attire on festivals, visiting temples, reflecting the Raj dress code. It allows us to imitate Krishna's associates in that way. Oh my God. How do we know how Krishna's associates dressed? I don't know. Is anyone here able to say unequivocally means 100%, that 5,000 years ago, people in Braj dressed the same way they do today? Can anyone make that claim? Unequivocally, can any of you come up with a, I know what we see in paintings! Oh my God! And there's so many different paintings. I mean, sometimes in some ISKCON books, there's paintings that depict Krishna like a weightlifter with big muscles. And Prabhupada didn't like that. So, and then if you go into the Rajasthani paintings, then it's even more upsetting because Krishna appears like he has a big nose. And so the paintings are done devotionally, but we are not, I mean, what can I say? We are not sure how people dressed 5,000 years ago. That's all. That's all I can say. I mean, except for some descriptions in Srimad Bhagavatam, then we are not sure. And also when you go to Braj, you see the Brajavasis who come from Rajasthan, they dress up very colorfully. And the Brajavasis who come from other places, they dress in different fashions. And those who come from Bengal, they dress in different fashions. So it's good to dress yourself. Yes, if it helps you remember, that's fine. If it's something that helps you remember Krishna, this is our ISKCON uniform anyway. I'm reasonably sure that sannyasis didn't dress like this 5,000 years ago. I'm reasonably sure about that. I'm not absolutely sure because I don't have any photographs of it. But I'm reasonably sure. Why is it expected for us to dress in a certain way when visiting the temple? I don't expect you to dress a certain way when visiting a temple. When you're doing deity worship and you're doing, let's say, service for in the kitchen, yes, it's very helpful. It's very clean. This is the way. Probably we're followers of Prabhupada, basically. To me, this sort of dress connects me to Prabhupada. I personally don't feel any more Krishna conscious whether I'm wearing it or wearing something else. But I feel that when I go to the temple and I dress like this, it's what Prabhupada wanted me to do. It's a tradition. It's not an eternal tradition. Like I've mentioned many times before, the Goswamis of Vrindavan certainly didn't dress like this. They dressed in like lungis and white dhotis, and they got rid of their Brahmin threads, and they got rid of their sikhas. They cut their sikhas off. If they were from Brahminical families, they cut their Brahmin threads off. So, but it creates a certain mood when we dress in this way. I mean, it's nice. I mean, when you see the men dress cleanly and nice dhotis, it's actually quite nice. We know it's pleasing to Prabhupada, and we know it's pleasing to Krishna, because it's pleasing to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was pleased when he saw the ladies dressed in saris. We should dress appropriately when going yo temple. Does that mean your temple? Or yo, like yo, the boat, or something like that? Going to the temple. Yes, we should dress appropriately. Obviously, you should dress cleanly, neatly, chastely, everything like that. But we do not, here we do not insist, unless someone's giving the class, unless someone's going on the altar, unless someone is cooking for the deities, we don't insist that the devotees dress in a certain fashion, but they dress cleanly and neatly and comfortably, and we don't impose a dress code on the devotee. I mean, some of the temple devotees, we ask the men to wear dhotis properly or whatever. But sometimes they don't, and I don't get all burnt out or upset about it. The main thing is to chant the names of the Lord. The Prabhupada liked the style of dress because it helps remind us of who we are, especially in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, when we wear the dress that Prabhupada liked. It actually helps us. It reminds us of our identity as servants of Krishna. I mean, right now, it doesn't matter to me how I dress. I always remember I'm a servant of Krishna. But it's actually, Prabhupada said, like a uniform. And sometimes the uniforms are appropriate. Sometimes when you're preaching, you don't dress like that because it may be counterproductive for the preaching. I think the dress is secondary. The main thing is to dress appropriately. Appropriately means like ladies and gentlemen. Actually, when Srila Prabhupada first had Kirtananda go to India with him, Prabhupada had him wear a tie and a jacket, because he thought that this would impress the Indians, if he had some like educated person who joined the Krishna consciousness movement. Later on, Prabhupada gave him sannyas, but that's another story. But in the beginning, you'll actually see pictures of him traveling with Prabhupada wearing a tie and a jacket, because Prabhupada was thinking of preaching. Preaching is the essence, books are the basis, utility is the principle, purity is the force. Anyway, we should dress in a way that pleases Krishna. I am not going to dress as a gopi tonight. That would be highly inappropriate. After class, I don't even know how to put a sari on. What to speak of dressing up as a gopi? I just want to serve Radha and Krishna and the gopis and Srila Prabhupada. I'm just a servant. I'll do whatever they want. If they want me to go to hell, I'll go to hell, and if they want me to go to heaven, I'll go to heaven, and if they want me to go back to Godhead, I'll go back to Godhead. I'm just meant to give pleasure to Radha and Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, Gaur Nitai. That's my identity. Hopefully, I realize it one day. Anyway, so on that happy note, controversial happy note, after I've upset half the people in the class. So anyway, so we'll see everybody tomorrow night. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.